Each and every single one of us was called here for a purpose. There's no such thing as coincidence. And one of the things that I love to think about is, how do we find ourselves in the situations that we find ourselves in so commonly? Now, I would argue that the majority of the room, and listening to everybody share, that we're aware of what repentance is, or how it affects us, or what we think about it. I think that most of us here are more susceptible to accepting it than maybe the majority of the people out there that you meet that maybe never broke the law, or never got caught, or never got in trouble, you know. And you try to preach, you know, repentance to them, and they're like, you know, what's a, you know, eight-time felon going to tell me about forgiveness and repentance? But it's not something that we talk about very often, but it certainly is something that we should think about. I don't know, those of us that were here the last time I spoke, we were talking about staying the course. You know, how do you get that momentum and then keep your momentum? Because I don't know if you can relate to me, but I remember times where I'd run good 6-8 months, bam. 6-8 weeks, bam. Sometimes 6-8 days, bam. Right? Over and over and over again, you ask yourself, you're in that slingshot, and you go, and you're in the slingshot, and you go, you try and try and try again. We ask the question, you know, what about when we're aware of it, and you know that you're fighting something? And I'm going to pick pieces apart on that idea, but first and foremost, ultimately, to grasp an idea of what repentance is, technically, is to feel sorrow for something done or not done. And if you put that in perspective, you know right away when you've done something, yes or no. Right? Now, I know when I do it today. I know the minute it happens, 7 seconds later, it's in the back of my mind. You big dummy. Right? Why do you do that? Paul wrote in Romans 14:7, why do I, the one who wants to do good, visibly see myself doing the things that I don't want to do? And he looks at himself and he says, then that must be the sin that's within me. Me who wants to do right, me who wants to do good, me who wants to move forward, still watches me do things that I wish that I wouldn't do. Yes or no? You don't relate to that? That falls along the lines of what we're thinking about, right? How can I, as a saved man today, wake up and constantly repeat? But we do talk about the dispensation of grace. And I love the fact that that was brought up. You know, if we have been in, which we are under the dispensation of the law, but having accepted Christ in our life, we fall into that dispensation of grace where there is a little more leeway today. I would argue that mentally, physically, spiritually, it can be just as challenging sometimes to face that ability to know and start to trick yourself to think that, you know, I'm a good guy, I deserve to do this, I'm a good girl, I go out and do this, oh, I've put all 60 hours in, I'm going to do this right. You know, it's crazy how our minds will sit there and talk us into doing whatever it is that it wants to do. Because the mind's a robot. But when you think about avoiding destruction, because ultimately that's what we want to do, right? I mean, ultimately, who don't want to move forward, right? Does anybody in this room want to stop right now and start moving backwards again? No. From where we come from?
No.
Right, but we sit and we think about it, you know, but sometimes we don't spend enough time thinking about it. Sometimes we just go along and along and along and along and just, you know, and along and along and along, and we never ask ourselves, why is this happening to me? It takes years to figure out that maybe I'm my own enemy. Yes or no?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because every time you talked to me, it was the court system. It was the probation. They weren't supposed to piss test me that day. They weren't supposed to have radars on 69. You know what I'm saying? I mean, whatever it is you want to talk about, oh, they ain't supposed to search me like that. You know, I've been in all them situations where you just, no matter what happens, you can't say, well, maybe I shouldn't have been doing what I was doing. Maybe it is me. And repentance is twofold. Feeling sorrow for something that you've done. So and I think that each and every one of us fall in that category where if we've done something that we wish we hadn't done, we still feel like we shouldn't have done it. Amen?
Amen.
I'm gonna tell you, that's a blessing. Because if you didn't feel like you should have done it, then you got to start to worry. That's when you start to ask yourself, if I go out far, you know, when am I going to go too far? How many examples in the Bible when God sat there and watched people and he said that he's not an angry God, he's a gentleman. I serve you according to your own ways. Amen, right? I will serve you up according to your own ways. I'm a gentleman. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. But if you choose destruction, then you get to have what? Destruction. Because why? Because I chose it. I chose it for myself, so that's what I get. It's reaping and sowing. God doesn't create tragedy in our life. God only loves us. We create tragedy in our life, and we also live in chaos. So if I live in chaos, I can't be surprised when I'm exposed to it. If I've created chaos my whole life, I can't be surprised when I'm dealing with it. Amen? But when God comes in and we find ourselves sorry, A, that means we do have a conscience. That means the Spirit's still working on us. Amen? And I would argue that if our conscience is pricking at us, then it's not too late. It's not too late. The flip side of repentance is or undone. You ever notice a situation come up in your life when you felt like in your gut you should have acted, but you didn't? And then it passed. And it went on and you didn't do it, but you knew you should have. There's another fold to where God puts a calling on your life. It's a crazy deal. Because he says, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to promote you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you, I'm going to grow you, and I'm going to bring you through all the things that you face in your life. Sometimes it ain't going to be easy. But if you stay connected to me, we're going to get through it. And we're going to go where I'm going to bring you. Amen? We're all going to the same place at the end of the day, no matter where we are. But when you think about that, you have to grasp the idea of his calling on you is not just for you. And that's funny because we're kind of selfish people from the gate. You know, little kids, you know, it's mine. Then you grow up 20 years later, you're still screaming, mine, right? Yeah. Right? That's my car. That's my house. With my chips, right? I catch some kids in the cupboard again. But you think about it. Being selfish, and that's just not the way of the Lord. But what I want to think about is repentance and the idea in that we need to avoid destruction. In Ezekiel 7, I'm going to paraphrase, the Lord says, the end is awakened against you, pouring out God's anger to judge you according to your ways. I will show no pity, nor will I spare or repay. I will repay everyone according to their ways. I will repay everyone according to their ways. And that's what we're kind of talking about. God being a gentleman. God being a gentleman and understanding how important it is to repent. But what about the things that I unintentionally do? And they thought about that in the Old Testament. So what if I'm living my life right now and I'm just a little undereducated and I'm not even sure if I'm sinning? I don't even know what I'm doing is wrong? And you say, I can't be guilty of that. Well, if you talk about the age of accountability, prior to that, no, they wouldn't be. But once you become a specific age, we've all been exposed to this word enough to where we know. Yes or no? Even in passing, even before Gene came and I'm facing, even the first time, facing 20 years the first time I was locked up, and Gene's coming in praying on me, making me feel uncomfortable in the jail, looking around, you know, with this dude, little guy praying on me. But even then, in the back of my mind, I knew. Right? And in the back of our minds, we know. Because we've been exposed. So there really isn't any kind of argument where I'm saying I don't know. But he said, for everyone who goes astray or is naive, make atonement. And Romans 10:3 says, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. And what he's saying is, ignorance is not innocence. Right? Sometimes people like to handle God like I kind of like to handle the doctor. Like, you going to the doctor? No. Not going to the doctor. Why? Because he's going to tell me something's wrong. Right? I know a lot of guys are that way. You're going to drag me kicking and screaming to the doctor because I know what he wants to do to me, A, because I'm getting 40 now. I'm not going back. It ain't happening. Better get an x-ray or something. I know what they want to do now. But they're gonna find something wrong with me. I got enough problems.
run tests and make me spend more money and tell me something's wrong. But I don't treat the Bible that way. They'll be like, well, I'm not going to spend more time in the Bible because the Bible just takes away from all the things I want to do. Every time I get closer to God, I just find out that there's less stuff that I can do. Right? It's no fun. Taking away all my fun. Right? And we think about that. In the world feels that way. They feel like, oh, if you're a Christian person, you can't have fun. You won't have joy. Well, what is it really? Is it those little tiny things that I want to hide in my back pocket, behind my shoulder, all the things I don't want to give up, the things that I'm ashamed about? Look, if I can't do it in front of you right now, then I'm ashamed about it. Amen, right? I don't need the Bible to tell me that. Yes or no? Right? So what is it that's holding me back? But he says, if a man does not repent, he sharpens the swords to stab himself. Wickedness travails, and he will end up conceiving mischief, which births his own destruction. And his violence will descend upon the crown of his own head, on his own plate, for his glory will be destruction. And I don't like that. Right? That's ultimately the end result. But when I think about that, what about our daily lives? Right? We're dealing with all these little issues. We're dealing with all these different people. We're dealing with our bosses, the probation officers, the court system, the people in the community, the other 79% of the people in this world that absolutely cannot drive. Right? They can't. I'm looking under there. They make me crazy. What about the little things? So what about the little things? Like, that we talk about. Like, if I know for a fact that I got something in my life right now, and I'm allowing it to continue, does that make it okay? Right? If I know that it's wrong? So, what's the right thing to do? So, I know that a lot of times, the first time I was naive when I got saved, I ended up going back. You know, just like Joel did. I went back. I was saved, and I was still saved. I'm 100% convicted that I was saved during that time, but I could make a really sad violin story to the end result to where I just went back after it again. Right? Just like many of us have, yes or no. And I went back out there, and in the back of my mind, I knew the whole time. I knew it. I knew it the whole time that I was out there that I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And there was even points and times I told stories where I was driving downhill gas, Yukon fully loaded, I mean loaded to where nobody else could sit in there, feeling like I was being followed. And I prayed that day. And I said, God, if you just get me out of this, I promise tomorrow I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to turn it around. I even prayed about it at that time. Woke up the next day, I'm like, man, you're in trouble. Right? Back after. So then 2-year federal investigation after that, 45 years in the 318. You know? But that was a blessing. That's actually a blessing, because that's what saved my life. And I want to ask myself, on those little things that I allow in my life, the little baby steps. See, nobody right now is going to stop and make a decision that's going to cost them the rest of their life or the rest of 20 years or do whatever. Not from not going to do it to that. It doesn't happen like that. It's the little things. It's the, I deserve to drink whiskey on Thursdays. It's the, I'm still going to go to clubs as my guys are at. I still smoke, but I don't smoke all the time. I do that. It's all those little tiny things that we tell ourselves that begin to grow. Donnie calls them piglets. If you got a little piglet that's a sin, and he's cute and he's cuddly, and he's in your back pocket, and you feed him, and you feed him, and you feed him, and you feed him, what happens? He becomes a hog. And then he has more piglets, and they become a hog. And then you wake up one day, and you can't live with yourself, and you think to yourself, nobody's going to take this call, right? I don't know about you guys, my criminal history is this tall off the top of the ground. It was an absolute miracle that my mom would answer the phone after I was in there for I don't know how long, the 19th time, right? You been there or not? So you wonder, how can I gain, and I pulled this group that I'm working with on the side, and he said that the answer to this equation, that's very simple, it's not complicated at all, it's just a very simple answer. He said, Matthew 22:37-40, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's what he said. I was like, well, that doesn't really answer any of these questions, right? That don't really get to the meat of, why am I the way I am? Why do I do the things that I do? How do I keep finding myself in these situations? And he said again, love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So, to grasp this idea, and we break it all the way down. How do we do this? How do we love him with all my heart? How do I love him with all my soul? And how do I love him with all my mind? Heart, by definition, it kind of is desire, compassions, emotions, right? It's powerful. That means I got to find that love, that kind of love that I know that I have for my little ones, right? The kind of love that I know that I have for my family. I got to figure out how to put that love in me towards God. And that's a foreign concept, you know, especially if you haven't had it before, right? Or most of us haven't even been subjected to true love and don't know quite what love is, but if you go online, there's a whole message about love. What is love? We talked about that already. Love is not, I love the sun-kissed, right? I love the motorcycle. I love French fries, right? Love Netflix. I love hot tubs. I love not going to work. How many things can you come up with that you say, I love, I love, I love, I love my kids. I love pretzels. I love, so how does that make sense? Now what is love, truly? Love is such a powerful thing, truly, that we don't quite comprehend it. Love is the power of God's essence himself. In 1 John 4:8, he said, God is love. Right? We study love and understand love to be a concept that we truly don't understand in this day and age. Because I love fast cars and I love motorcycles, and you guys know I do. Right? I do. Every day. I love to burn gas. I love it. But that ain't love. That ain't real love. That ain't the love that can come into your life and change your being. That ain't the love that can meet you right there where you're at and take you to a new place. That ain't the love that can create forgiveness in your life and in your relatives' life and in your past friend's life. That ain't the love that can bridge every gap that you've destroyed all the way today. Amen, right? There's a power in that love. There's a compassion that we need to have. Ephesians 3:16 says, to be strengthened by the power of the Spirit in the inner man so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. So that when the day don't go my way, I don't get off track. Amen. When the bills don't come out this month, I don't get off track. Amen. Amen. Right? When somebody crashes into my classic car for the second time, I don't get off track. Right? Right? I mean, just all the weird things that happen to us in life that just send us immediately. He said, it can't run. He said, grew rooted and grounded in that love. So that no matter what I face today, I'm supposed to face it with love. And that's the most important thing to understand, is that you guys are here in a group that understands that it's not our job to judge you. It's our job to love you. Amen? So that if you go out these doors and never touch or taste another piece of love in this world, you know that you better feel it here. Amen? Because that's what we're here to do. Number two is our soul. Well, we don't quite know what the soul is. It's our life. In Matthew 10:28, he said, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell. Matthew 16:26, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And that was one of my favorite verses for a long time. I never let go of it. Because when I first came home from prison, I was still being tugged on. I was still being tugged on. I still owned a very profitable not-for-profit business. I know that takes longer to explain than needed, but just the point of the matter is, it's a not-for-profit that was very profitable. But anyways, I knew, being attached to that, that it was going to suck me back in. I knew it. Because when I first got out, I woke up a couple Saturday mornings, a couple Sunday mornings, and knew that I was somewhere where I shouldn't have been. I knew that I felt like I was doing places that I shouldn't be. And that was the verse that really attached to me. The guy kind of stuck in my heart. He said, Ben, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And just to tell you guys the type of decision I had to make, I was net income, $2,500 a week. And I quit that job without having another job. Marvin, who you guys all know, made my resume. He wrote my resume. Nobody would hire me with my record. Marvin wrote my resume. And I walked away from that job because I knew that it was only a matter of time. It was only a matter of time. Yes or no? You guys know that. I don't know how many people know that there are specific places in this town. If you go there every single day, whether you think that you're all good or not, eventually you're going to get in there. Yes or no? And sometimes we trick ourselves and we tell ourselves that we're too strong. But, you know, you take a Mick or a Gonzalez or a Marvin and put them in the wrong place day in, day out, day in, day out. You know what kind of power you got to have to handle that? I knew it wasn't going to get me. But the verse that sticks to me is to understand this. If we were, what does it profit a man to gain the entire world but lose his soul? It just don't make no sense. It just don't make no sense because all these perishable things that we focus on are worthless. Right? That's the reason why Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied. And I answered that question very simply. You find yourself never enough. You drink, you can't drink enough. You smoke, can't get high enough. Got money, it's never enough. Why? Because you would have quit. Yes or no? I had money. I could have quit a long time ago. And those people that know me very well know that I would have been fine. But I couldn't. There's no such thing as enough. Because Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, so are the hearts of men. That's why I can never be high enough. I can never have enough money. Amen? The love of God is the only thing that fills that void. The forgiveness and the love that comes from Christ can only be the only thing that stops that void. I know it. So that's why, so what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Because even if you had all the money already, you still wouldn't feel better. Even if you were still the man, you still didn't feel good. Right? Still peeking out the windows. Still doing crazy stuff. Right? It was never enough. There's only one power. James 1:21 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word that's implanted, which is able to save your souls. The amplified version of that says, able to make you whole again. Amen. Did anybody hear that? I can close if you don't want to hear anymore. What he said was, this word, the word that's being preached to you, is able to make you whole again. Able to make you whole again. Have you ever found any other source or power in anything else that you've ever been that could go back through you and make you whole again? All of the pain and the suffering and the lack of confidence, all the mistakes, all the things that we carry, all them bags of luggage like Santa Claus, we've got to carry them no more. Amen? We just got to hold on to Christ and believe that He is who He is. And our minds. The way that we think and perceive things. Romans 7:8 says, for a mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it's not able to subject itself to God, for it's not even able to do so. And those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But set your mind on things that are above the earth, and make your joy complete by being of the same mind. So when you put all that together, he's saying that when I'm sitting here and I'm focused on my flesh, I'm focused on my problem, I'm focused on the world, then I'm not subjecting myself to God and His direction in my life. Why is that important? Because I keep asking myself, how did I get here? Amen? Right? How do we end up through the court system, through all the probationary, through all the mistakes, and then land a faith-based marriage ministry? And the reality is because we're here because we want to grow. We want to make a change. We don't want to repeat that cycle again. Amen? Yes or no? Right? So we look for another scenario. And what he's saying is, if we take our minds that have always been focused on this world that's in front of us, all the haves and the have-nots, get to do and don't get to do's, I hate my job, I hate where I live, I hate my roommate, I hate, right? And I wake up focused on that world in front of me, I'm not subjecting myself to God's calling in my life. So I'm not even able to do that. But if I start turning towards the Lord, no matter where I am on my walk, let's say I don't even know the Lord right now. And let's say, okay, God, I'm going to be real with you. Between you and me, in my closed door in my room, I don't even know who you are. But I'm going to tell you what. If you're there, I want you to show me.
And I'm going to walk today like I've never walked before. And I'm going to watch for you. And I'm going to see if you're going to work in my life. And I promise you, if you call God out on your life and then you hold to it, you will find it. Amen?
Amen.
We have an ability to find what we're looking for. Half the time, when I knew about God growing up, I kind of knew about him, but didn't want him yet, because I wasn't done being who I wanted to be. Amen? I still wanted to go after all the things that I thought that I needed to have. He's going to take all that away from me. But that ain't right. If I could get my mindset off of the flesh, but onto the spirit, then I'm going to reap benefits. And that's actually the positive end of the discussion. So we start to think about repentance in a way that he puts it right here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Ezekiel 18, he puts it out there like this. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies because of it, for his iniquity he committed, he will die. But when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he's committed, and practices righteousness, he will save his life because he considered and turned away from his transgressions which he committed, and he shall surely live, he shall not die. Therefore, I will judge you each according to your conduct, for I have no pleasure for the one that dies, and therefore, repent and live. And God just puts it out there so smooth. He said, come as you are, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You ain't got to shine up for me. You ain't got to get special for me. You just need to come. Amen, right? Just as you are. And then when God starts pricking at you and working on you and speaking to you in your conscience, we listen. And then he puts it out there. He said, hey, righteous man falls down seven times. Seven times he gets up. That's what I take from that. Because he's saying that when a wicked man, such as myself, considers his ways and turns away from his wickedness, and practices righteousness. Why do you think he says that? Because we're human. We're human. You punch me, I punch you, I'm sorry. Right? We're so weak. But the more we draw near to him, the more he draws near to us. And that's his verse. He said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Malachi 6:7, return to me, and I shall return to you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray.